Hello and welcome to the Teach Computing Podcast. Today, this is a special episode. It's been recorded live to you from Media City, UK, Salford here, Manchester. And today, it's the 4th of October. It's a Friday. And I'm not here on my own. I'm here with a bunch of other people, but two in particular, and they're going to introduce themselves to you now. Who are you, sir?
Hi, I'm Nick Hughes. I'm a computing teacher at Latimer School in West London.
And I'm Neil Rickus. I'm a senior lecturer in computing education, among other things, at the University of Hertfordshire.
So, gentlemen, we all have a few things in common. We're all big fans of CAS, Computing at School. I think we were there right kind of at the beginning. Yeah. We've all run CAS meetings, haven't we? CAS hub meetings.
Yes. Yeah, CAS communities.
Yeah. We have other things in common, like, we went to Scratch Europe in August.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great. And today we're here at Microbit Live. That's hashtag Microbit Live, so, you know. It's a bit like Scratch Europe today, I'm finding.
Yeah, very community focused, lots of people just sitting around having a chat, which is often the best thing that these, and the talks are great, but also it's catching up with people, finding out what's new and what's changed or what hasn't changed, which is good.
One thing that I particularly like when I come to things like this is there's very few people pushing their products on you. It's not like a trade show or anything.
Yeah.
So I keep bumping into teachers and makers here and they're like saying, have you seen this thing? This is great. This is cool. Like Billy was showing me a robot earlier.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like Billy was on sales commission.
Yeah.
Whereas when you go to something like the Bet Show, it's a bit different, isn't it? Because you then kind of feel like there's always an agenda that people are trying to sell you a particular thing. Have you been to some of the workshops and talks?
Yes, been quite a few.
Yep, and I've also played a few bits. I got to see Lorraine Underwood's Microbit QB thing.
The Qubit. 3D.
That's it, that thing.
Qubit version 2, I believe.
I think when you're saying you got to see it, I think you need to be honest. You need to say, you can hardly avoid the thing. It's so big.
Yeah, it nearly bumped into me, actually. Yeah.
I'm sure it must have legs of its own. It seems to get around a bit, doesn't it? All over. It is. And it is awesome. Did you follow the journey of how Lorraine built this?
Yep.
Little ping pong balls with LEDs inside, NeoPixels, and it's amazing.
Yeah, the mammoth task of watching Lorraine put it together this morning was interesting.
It's like a rebuild every time she brings it somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. So that's just around the corner from where we're sat at the moment. That was one of Neil's highlights.
Yeah. And I also got to play Snake in 3D as well, which is actually messes up with your head completely. Particularly when you sort of go back on yourself, but you're going up and down on the y-axis, and you go, oh yeah.
How many apples did you manage to eat?
I was up to 11. Apparently 18 is the current high score here today, so
that was
on my way.
That was your first goal?
Well,
Third
or fourth-ish.
Okay, we don't count the zeroth goal that you had.
Oh yeah, we do computing, so we start at zero. Oh yeah, this is my first go then.
So, Nick, a highlight for you that you've seen so far?
The coolest thing I saw today was Microsoft were talking about the new tutorials system they can do to make your own tutorials within MakeCode any of their platforms, actually. But they were showing off in particular the stuff you can do for Microbit, and so I spent most of the morning in between the talks playing with that, trying to work it out. And I think it's got some interesting applications for creating content for curriculum and things, for schemes of work and things like that, to actually make it easier for teachers and children to actually use these ideas that we're coming up with.
One of the things that I've seen today is not necessarily particularly to do with the Microbit, in fact, it's just to do with the actual arrangement of the conference that I've really liked, which is you've got this big open space that people are, all the talks are 20 minutes long with 10 minute gaps in between, but it's not really defined by any boundaries apart from the back wall. And then you've got this other kind of breakout space where people are running workshops, and then there's another space over there where people are demonstrating things. And I think sometimes when you come to events like this, it can be very
overwhelming.
Overwhelming. There's a lot of things going on, and we're sat right now in this little quiet pod thing
behind the main stage.
And we can kind of eavesdrop into what's going on. And I like how, because you know, when you look at the schedule, I think, there's five places I want to be in the same time. You can
beat it. You can.
You can fool yourself into thinking you are.
It's the schedule is really clever because it's sort of one starts and then it's sort of staggered starts. So actually, you can go to one for a bit and then go, actually, no, this isn't what I this is interesting, but let's look at something else. And so then you can move on to something else. It's quite, it's easy to move between spaces. It's quite, it's almost unconference-like.
Yes, that's really nice.
But conference-y, because it is planned, yeah. But it's got a really nice feel.
And then
feel.
Also to interesting people just walk past waving, like Giles, for example.
Sorry, I haven't had a minute.
Don't worry, we're recording a podcast, and we've been...
You're actually recording it now?
Yeah, in your live, podcast. And you're in the
Hello,
podcast.
Giles.
Enjoy.
Bye.
So Giles is just this machine that makes resources for Microbit. It is lovely as well while we're here. You can bump into people that you've, names that you've heard of, but you've not actually met them in the flesh. And while I was talking about the organisation, I'm lucky enough to know Rachel Lancaster, who's done a lot of the preparation and planning for this. And over the last few months, I know she's not quite been tearing her hair out planning it, but
being close.
Yes, yeah. But I think she's, I think they've done a fantastic job in pulling it all together, because you can dip in and out of things. Mm. And I think as well, there's an expectation, like, well, I did a talk before, and while I was doing it, some people got up and walked in, and some walked out, and because of the design of the building, it kind of
works.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have that awkwardness, or I've actually got to leave the room, and everyone's going to look at the door, and you get
and
that
then the
creak.
Door squeaks, and then you walk out, and the door goes boom behind you, and that kind of stuff, yeah. So that has worked really well. You're down on the program to do something
for tomorrow.
Yeah. So this is a 2-day conference. Yeah. So today is Friday, tomorrow is Saturday. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what it is that you're planning to talk about?
Tomorrow I'm doing a workshop where we're going to be making, we're going to be doing Microbit with DT. And so we're going to be basically using one server with a Microbit and making it move and do something. So really simple, quick way into using servers with kids.
Now, you might have said earlier that you're a computing teacher.
And, I did.
Yeah, and people think, oh, Microbit's computing. But actually, there's massive overlap with a lot of other subjects, particularly design technology.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things I'm seeing today, like robotics and prototypes and 3D printing, those boundaries are very blurred, aren't they, between the two. And, you know, I've even bumped into people who teach science, and they're looking at ways of using it to capture data, measure.
That was one of the cool things I saw. There was two people. One was talking about a project they were doing where they were using the Microbit to capture data from greenhouses, using the Microbit to control servos, but also to collect data. And then all the data from loads of Microbits was going into one, like, Google spreadsheet. It was very cleverly designed.
Because one of the problems about the Microbit is, in terms of it holding data, apart from the program, I think there's only like a tiny little bit for it. So it's not, but if you're transmitting the data.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know if you were in the same session as me earlier, there was two gentlemen from Denmark, and they were talking about some of the things that they do, the activities and events in schools. And then they did an audience participation thing. So they divided the audience into three different groups.
Mm.
And we were all given a Microbit with a code on it. And each one's basically transmitting on a different channel, or each group of the audience. And we had to shake our Microbits vigorously. And the more we did that, the louder our particular audio track would play. And that, which I thought was a really nice way, because so basically you're capturing activity.
Mm.
And using the Microbit as the transmitter, and then you've got some kind of central resource collecting all of these.
Yeah, and so just going back to your example, with the data coming into the spreadsheet, that's then properly your data rather than making up some numbers for your dream shopping list, which is how you might have taught spreadsheets back in the day. And then it might be you put that into a graph, stick it into a video, put your own audio over the top with some photographs of where your data was collected, stick it on YouTube, get comments, blog about it. And that's a really, really nice project over a period of time that brings the programming and your digital literacy bits together, rather than let's do a PowerPoint or let's just do Excel.
It's utilizing the Microbit for what it is, as a device that you can make it interact with the physical world in some way. Another one of the things we saw today was a program called, I'm just double checking what it was called to get it right, it was called Microblocks. Again, it's a slightly different interface for accessing the Microbit, but one of the nice things about it was it showed you live graph data. So depending on the sensors you were using or what you were doing with it, it would graph the data live. And that was quite nice. So it's really instantaneous. So you can actually do some
was
projects.
John Hegarty was talking about that.
Yeah, John and Richard, Dr. Richard Millwood was.
Because so we recorded a little video. We were fooling around, but you were showing me how you could remotely control other microbits, and those other microbits were controlling other microbits, and one had a robot and all of that. And I think I pushed a video to YouTube or something.
But it was really cool. It was a really nice way of demonstrating how radio worked. I'd never thought of doing it that way before, but I could see some real fun with an introduction to radio anyway. But yeah, the data handling side of it was just another function it happened to have in the bit of software, and I thought that's really cool. Like data visualization was really
in
nice.
In action, really nice.
And you wouldn't even have to go as far as putting it into a Google form or something and then graphing it. It's instantaneous, and that's sometimes what you need, that instant, oh look, that's what it's doing, that's really the temperature moving up and
get
down.
Rid of the faff.
So it's really nice bit of software, which is free.
Neil, I'm sure I've seen your name on the program.
Yeah, for tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow. I'm looking for today. So what are you planning tomorrow?
Mine is the worst session title ever, and I couldn't think of an acronym or anything special. So in one shot, it's let's implement every programming element of the primary computing curriculum using the microbit in 40 minutes.
Gosh,
there you go.
You don't mean you're going to read the title out in 40 minutes?
Yeah, that's half the session. Just read the title.
Yeah. That joke, could the owner of the vehicle registration, your registration plate is blocking another car. Yeah. So that sounds like a tall task. You mean you're going to explain it in 40 minutes or they're going to do it?
They're going to do it. So
things like sequence selection, iteration.
Sequence selection, repetition variables. And in a nutshell, you get some text to scroll.
Okay.
You then use a button as an input and maybe an if then else statement. You then perhaps do a little animation with two dogs wagging tail, two or three images are moving, and then use the buttons as a counter for say a football game or something like that.
And that's all four in a nutshell. That's it,
and that's your primary curriculum done.
That's it.
And what time are you doing that tomorrow
at? I've highlighted it so I remember. 1:40 till 2:20.
So it'll probably just be after lunch.
Yeah, the post lunch lull.
my slot is better and or worse. Yeah. It is the last slot of the day.
Oh dear.
So I'm hoping there'll be some people still around. But we're getting to use glue guns and tape and servos and stuff.
Have you done a risk assessment?
Yes.
You're not gonna have people trying to sniff the glue guns.
Yeah, I would do that. No.
There was something I was going to say. Something occurred to me earlier that I sometimes think, I've come up with this really good idea, and then somebody says afterwards, somebody once said that before or used that before, because we spend a lot of time reading about things online.
Yeah.
I used a phrase in the talk I did, I said weapons of mass instruction, describing these kind of, you can download a worksheet.
Yeah.
So we know that there's websites out there and resource repositories where you can download here's 10 worksheets or 10 activities. I start to think I'm sure somebody else has talked about these WMIs, weapons of mass instruction.
It does sound familiar when you said it, but then again, it maybe you've just said it already, Alan.
Going back to the organisation of the conference as well, do you know the thing that made me giggle when I was reading? You get this email beforehand, like, make sure to bring photo ID and bring this, bring that, the other, and you pack an umbrella and a banana and a tea bag and all those kind of things. It said, also, bring a microbit with you, which I thought, because I think some people might have expected you come to a microbit conference and they're going to give you a microbit.
Yeah, it's true.
And even that moment, when we came in, they gave us this little present from Farnell,
which is very cool.
And I thought, oh, it's a microbit. Well, it is kind of.
Yeah.
It's an unpopulated microbit.
It's a naked microbit. Yeah. There's no bits on it. Yeah. It's just the board. Yeah. Coloured in, it's cool. It's very cool.
Yeah, I have 10 in my bag just in case. Yeah.
But talking of 10, you also showed me earlier this little battery holder, a 3D printed battery holder that really interacts very nicely. I mean, for listeners at home, it's a nice little small plastic thing that you're going to show us a photograph for the podcast, are you, Neil?
I'm going to tell you the person's name because I always forget.
He's been around on Twitter, and I can't remember his name either. Yeah, so Neil's going to.
We did tweet something earlier, but the thing I was going to say was not necessarily the person's name, but it was a really nice idea, this idea, that the batteries were held captive on the microbit rather than this dangly thing that swings around and causes...
So Vlastimil Hovan. and he's Vlastimil_Hovan on Twitter.
Well, by gosh, I hope you said it right. Because if he listens to this podcast episode and you've not said it wrong, he's probably going to be coming after you, Neil.
I know. Yeah. I know. He knows where I live as well, actually, because he sent me some, which is very kind of
him. I know where you live.
Yeah.
Now, I suggest I'm using a new platform for recording this podcast that I haven't used for a while, and I'm not absolutely confident it's going to work. So I'm going to say we wrap it up in just a minute. But before we do, can I just congratulate you both on such cool, geeky t-shirts? Now, it's going to be really hard to describe this on the podcast, but Nick is wearing the most wonderful pink t-shirt with three unicorns on, and one of the unicorns is brown and the other unicorn is orange. And what's that unicorn got on its head? You'll have to explain it to me.
It's a cupcake.
Oh, that's what it is. No, actually, I'm joking. Neil is wearing a NASA t-shirt with a space shuttle on. Nick is. Yeah. Do you know what's really confusing? When you have two people being interviewed and one's called Nick and the other's called Neil.
This is why you went to that place this morning.
And I had a visit to Primarni, and I've got a Nintendo 64 one and also a Quickie Mart one, which are beautiful.
So, if there was a competition of who had the geekiest t-shirt, I know I definitely wouldn't win, because mine's just got shrimps on mine.
It's very cool, though.
I've got a horrendous shirt to wear tomorrow, Alan, for you.
Okay. Well, we'll have to compare your shirt tomorrow to my Converse that I'm wearing tomorrow. So, for listeners at home who are not looking at the laser display board, Neil's t-shirt has got some Space Invader characters, and it says classically trained in a kind of 8-bit font underneath.
It's why you got 11 out of a possible on his score, obviously. Oh, you know, because he's classically trained. See,
Not in 3D.
But not in 3D. Right, just you know.
Yeah. Right, fingers crossed. This podcast episode will go live as soon as possible, and it won't end up somewhere stuck in a recycle drive. You've been listening to
Nick Hughes,
who on Twitter can be found
at @duck_star.
Yep. Spoken very nicely with a very southern accent. I'd say duck_star, just slightly different. It's not that different, it's just to repeat it so listeners at home can catch up on it.
Absolutely.
And Neil Rickus.
I'll drop my T's when I say my Twitter. Yeah. So I'm Neil Rickus, and I'm at Computing Champs, not Computing Chimps, as someone once described it on Twitter.
And I'm Alan O'Donoghue at Techno Teacher. That's TEKNO Teacher. But I do use another account, which is at Exa Foundation. Thank you, Rich. So can we say goodbye?
Bye.
It's been emotional.
Bye.